Hello, this is Lee Garber, Senior News Editor for the IEEE Computer Society. The Stuxnet worm made news recently when security experts revealed that it targeted an industrial control system used in Iran's nuclear operations. What made Stuxnet particularly noteworthy for security experts was that it was the first malware to specifically target industrial control systems, which are critical parts of nuclear energy, electric power, manufacturing, and other vital operations. Here, we're presenting the first part of an informative two-part interview with industrial control security expert Joe Weiss, managing partner at the Applied Control Solutions Consultancy. The first part of the interview focuses on Stuxnet as it relates to industrial control security. The second part, which will appear in a week, will look at lessons learned and important issues in industrial control security. We'll start the interview with Joe Weiss explaining exactly what industrial control systems are.
Okay. Let me first explain what are control systems.
Okay,
control systems, most people not in the control system world have heard the term SCADA. It stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition Systems. What is important to realize is SCADA is only one type of control system. And strange as it may seem, it is not necessarily the most critical. It is also not the system that was targeted by Stuxnet. So what I want to start out with is to get people to understand there's a number of different types of control systems. You have SCADA, which is used for electric distribution, water distribution, transmission distribution, pipeline transmission and distribution, very long dispersed assets. And then you have things like refineries, power plants, et cetera, that use distributed control systems as well as programmable logic controllers. And the programmable logic controllers is what is at the heart of what Stuxnet went after. So what I want to start with is to get people to understand from a Stuxnet perspective, the specific type of controller that was targeted was a programmable logic controller. And programmable logic controllers are used in manufacturing, auto assembly lines. They're used in power plants. They're used in ship propulsion. They're used in chemical plants. They're even used to control the rides at Disneyland. This is a very ubiquitous type of controller. There are probably 6 to 8 major worldwide vendors of these controllers.
Stuxnet, the first malware to specifically target any type of industrial control system.
What I believe is it's the first malware specifically intended to damage processes. Okay, this was essentially a weaponized attack. I don't know of any other like that before. It was designed specifically to attack processes.
Other types of malware affected industrial control systems.
Yes.
Past. Okay. They might not have been specifically designed for that.
Turns out that, give you two examples, Slammer and Blaster. Okay. What has happened in the past is control systems have been affected by malware, but they've been the unintended consequence. So that, for example, when Slammer hit, one of the things it did is it was going after, you know, Windows operating systems. And there were many control systems that were impacted by Slammer. One of them that I wanted to specifically address is there was a utility that was using Frame Relay for communication from the control center to the substations. And it turns out that the Frame Relay had a connection to the internet, which was impacted by Slammer. Blaster was another piece of malware that affected the industrial controllers. Ironically, the morning of the Northeast outage, the 2003 Northeast outage, I was on an emergency phone call because a utility not in the Northeast was having their SCADA system pretty much shut down by the blaster worm because the Cisco routers, or firewalls, excuse me, were not, if you will, blocking all of that blaster traffic. We do not have a very useful means of collecting the incident data on actual control system incidents. Because of my background, I have managed to collect what I consider to be an incident database. I've been able to identify more than 180 control system cyber incidents to date. Most of them are not public, and also most of them were not intentional. But they have caused some pretty significant damage. You look at what happened with, you know, the D.C. Metro train crash that killed 9 people, or the Bellingham, Washington gasoline pipeline rupture that killed 3, or the recent San Bruno natural gas pipeline failure that killed 8. These were all control system cyber issues. None of them were IT-type issues.
Now, those incidents you mentioned, the one in Washington and in Washington, D.C. with the trains, were those based on cyber attacks or cyber malfunctions?
No.
Or?
No, those were they're unintentional cyber incidents, and that's why I use the term incident. NIST defines a cyber incident as electronic communications between control systems that affect either confidentiality, integrity, or availability. One of the big things to get across is in the IT community, what you're worried about is a denial of service that basically shuts off communication. In our world, the worst thing that happens is not that you get shut down, but that something changes the process and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. In other words, not that it doesn't work, but that it doesn't work right. And that is a very, very, very big significant difference. And things like Slammer or Blaster are not meant to cause changes. They're just simply meant to shut things down.
And is that one of the major differences in terms of what Stuxnet did as opposed to these, you know, earlier kind of unintended attacks on control systems?
Well, the big thing is, again, Stuxnet was meant to take control of a process. It wasn't meant to shut it down. It was meant to take control and harm the process. That is what makes it so very different.
Trying to go for a little more specificity. What is it about Stuxnet, you know, different from other types of malware?
Okay, what it did, Stuxnet was a multi-function attack. And part of it is, if you believe, and I have no reason not to believe, if you believe what they were doing was going after the Iranian nuclear complexes, the first thing that needs to be recognized is none of them were connected to the internet. You know, again, here's another difference between IT and control systems. IT believes you got to be connected to the internet to really be vulnerable. These systems were totally isolated. There was no internet connection. Okay? The point being on these is that they needed a delivery vehicle because it wasn't connected to the internet. That was why the thumb drive was chosen. And the thumb drive, you know, whoever did this, I truly believe was nation state, because this was so, so complex and sophisticated. You're talking 2 compromised digital keys. You're talking 4 Microsoft zero days. And you're talking very, very detailed knowledge of the programmable logic controllers. And what they did was used the thumb drive to get access. They then used the IT part that everybody's familiar with as the delivery vehicle to get, if you will, Stuxnet into the system where it could then be delivered to the PLC. Once it was delivered to the PLC, what it did is, number one, it looked for very specific versions. Number two, it was looking for very specific process conditions. And the third thing it did is, once it found all of that, that's when it substituted actual control system logic, if you will, compromise logic for the logic that was actually there. This is at the firmware. This is where there is no antivirus or there is no malware protection or anything else. This is the firmware of a controller. And the other thing they did that made this so, you know, such a sophisticated thing, this was a man-in-the-middle attack, and what they were able to do then was capture, if you will, data from when the system was working normally. And so whenever it reached the process condition that they were going to substitute the, if you will, the warhead code, in other words, the compromised logic, what they did at that time is replayed the good condition, so somebody, you know, an operator looking at his screens would have had absolutely no idea that the process was compromised and no longer in his control. You read a lot about, you know, 100,000 machines compromised by Stuxnet or whatever numbers. We have an interesting catch-22. The part that you can see is the part that affects the Microsoft piece, which is the part that you can do something about, that the antivirus is there, etc. That is not at all the part that's affecting the programmable logic controller. So the point is, you may say that there's been 100,000 machines compromised, but we have absolutely no idea how many of those were actually had the PLC compromised. One of the differences between the control system world and the IT world is we have minimal to no forensics for cyber of control systems. The only forensics would be sitting there at the Microsoft operating system, but when you start going after a PLC, we don't have forensics, not for cyber.
Thank you for listening to the first part of our informative interview with Joe Weiss. Please watch for the second part, which will look at lessons learned from Stuxnet and important issues in industrial control security.